As we continue the lesson study tonight, we go back to verses that are particular verses that have been used through the years in reference to thankfulness. And they're found in Ephesians chapter 5 and also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're going to take a look at these passages here in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19 when he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. He immediately follows that up in verse 20 of Ephesians 5. Immediately says, give thanks to God in everything through the name or by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ. In everything. Can we thank God for the sadnesses that come into our lives and the challenges that come into our lives at that moment in time? Probably not. Probably we haven't thought about thanking God for this event that's taken place, be it an accident that's happened or be it some kind of trouble that's happened. Maybe in the long run, however, we can say, you know, that right there eventually was for my good. Eventually it slowed me down. Eventually it gave me a friendship that I didn't have otherwise. Eventually good came out of that event that I thought was so bad at the moment in time. That's the idea that we have in mind later on. But at that moment in time, do we find ourselves giving thanks to God for everything? Keep in mind, please, that the Bible is written in such a way that we have to consider the context of every verse of Scripture. And when we go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, it's a lot easier to see those other events, because in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, reference is made in the same sort of way, in the same sort of idea, but it also is the mentioning in the following verses where we're to do that. And so it helps us out to see that when we look at the context, we see that there are other things that are involved in the matter. In 1 Thessalonians 5, at verse 20, it says, despise not prophesying. In verse 18, he said, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And then he says, quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from the appearance of evil. The context of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the statement about pray without ceasing, be a person who gives thanks to God in everything, involves the idea of take a look at everything that happens around us. Weigh it. Position it in such a way that we can analyze it. Prove all things and hold fast what is good. Something is not good when in the long run it just simply doesn't pan out to be true and be accurate and be good and helpful to us. And so we find ourselves not being thankful for that so much as thankful for the teaching of God that we are to be people who take things not at face value but who prove all things and hold fast what is good. If we were to say that we would hear on the radio and television these days, say the sinner's prayer and salvation will be yours. We would investigate that. Who in the book of Acts of the Apostles was told to say the prayer? The closest one that comes to it is Saul of Tarsus. And in Acts, reference is made to his conversion, how that he was told to get up and go be baptized and wash away his sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22 and 16. What was this man doing? Well, he was a man who met the Lord out there on the road to Damascus. Instead of saying, you're a saved man here, the Lord said, go in the city, and there you'll be told what you must do. The gospel preacher Ananias was sent to that city, not wishing actually to go. He overhearing the type of things that this man could do, the authorities that he had power over, all the things that were involved with his persecution possibly coming about to go see him, although the Lord assured him, reassured him, that this was a man chosen out of due season. He'll be a servant of me, and you go and you teach him. So it was that Ananias came there to teach him, saw a man in prayer, a man who had been there 3 days and nights in prayer, a man who had not eaten, had not found himself desirous to continue on this earthly life without prayer to God. But he wasn't told at that time, you've done a wonderful thing and this is what you're to do. And I know that these few words for your salvation is what you need to add to your prayer, and this is what you should say. Rather, he was told, why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized. In the Greek text, it is get up and go get yourself baptized and wash away your sins. We find that to be the case. We find that he becomes a true disciple of the Lord Jesus. And he'll affirm the fact that when he was baptized in Romans chapter 6, he was raised to walk a new way of life. And so are the brethren there at Rome. For as he says, we and us, throughout that section of verses in Romans 6, verses 1 through 18 of that passage. And that personal pronoun is being used as a plural pronoun. And when he talks about let us and our and we, when we were baptized into Christ, we were buried with him by baptism into his death and raised to walk a new life. He's talking about himself and the brethren that Rome did the same sort of things. And as a result, we did that. That's what we find for salvation. Instead of saying a word of prayer about it, he was a man who was praying about his relationship to God when Ananias said to him, arise, go be baptized, and wash away your sins. It was in that he found the blood of Christ, thus his sins could be washed away. That's why we say in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning verse 7, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our sins, according to the riches of his grace. It is wonderful to be in that relationship with Jesus so that we find ourselves cleansed of our past sins by his blood. We find ourselves in a new born relationship with him. And as a result, we go on in life factually, faithfully serving the cause of God. We do not have to go by dream or vision or by a word of prayer that's being said that no one else says in the New Testament of our Bible for salvation. No one says it. We find ourselves saying to the Lord, I'll do what you say do. I'll be what you want me to be. I'll obey you. And that's the description given in Romans 6, beginning at 16. God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but have obeyed from the heart. That form of doctrine delivered you, being then made free from sin, when you were baptized into that death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, you were in that likeness of that figure, that form of doctrine you obeyed, being then made free from sin, you became the servant of righteousness, doing the right thing, doing the right way, and doing the right cause. We're to be thankful to God for that. We're to thank God in everything about it. We're to prove all things and hold fast what is good. And that's the idea of 1 Thessalonians 5 and 21. As we go forth in life, we find ourselves not teaching the sinner's prayer for salvation to anyone, but we ask a question when they say to us, well, I've said this prayer. Do you find anyone in the New Testament of your Bible saying a prayer for thy salvation only? We find a baptized believer there in Acts chapter 8 named Simon, who found himself in sin and wrongdoing. Thy heart, Peter said to him, is not right in the sight of God. Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. He could be forgiven by his now relationship with the Lord and his prayer life to the Lord. John has talked about that in 1 John 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We've been doing unrighteously. We're in Christ. We found that new relationship with him, but we've gotten away from it. We've gotten over into ways of life that the Bible opposes a way of life, be it the gambling that we do, be it the drunkenness that we get involved with, be it the kind of vulgarity that we speak in our language. Those things not right with God, what do we do? Well, we do what Simon did. Repent, therefore, of this thy wickedness, and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you. The thought and intent of my heart was a thought about wickedness and ways of wrongdoing. That's what I'm told about the ways of prayer now that I have a relationship with the Lord. Therefore, I can repent and pray, and he will offer forgiveness. And that statement made in 1 John 1 is not against that. It's the idea of having ourselves in a relationship with the Lord. In the first few verses of 1 John 1, he tells us those that are in fellowship with the Father and the Son. If we sin, we have a ray of life for him, a way of forgiveness from him. And he tells us that if we sin, we're to confess our sins and be faithful and just to forgive us. He will not go the other way. He'll not say, "You asked me too many times." He will say, "Yes, I heard you. I know what you're saying. I know what you mean. I know your weaknesses of life. I was there among you here on earth. And I know the weaknesses of life. And here is the way that you do it. By repentance and prayer, the thought and intent of your heart can be forgiven. And by that way of life, we can live faithfully to the cause of God throughout our daily walk of life." Think about this as we think about the relationship we have with the Lord tonight and how thankful we should be every time, in every way, in every circumstance. Within the context of those words, we find ourselves proving all things and holding fast that which is good. And that's the way of life that we're to do. Really appreciate you being here tonight. And I know it's brief to say the least about a lesson, but it's a part of a lesson study that I wanted to present and get the full measure of this by way of our recordings. And those who come to us on the internet system and find that they think that they're saved by salvation by the sinner's prayer being offered, we ask of you to take a look at your Bible and see what person in the Bible can you name that was saved as a result of his words of prayer, asking God to forgive him of his sins so he might be saved. The closest you'll come to is Saul of Tarsus. And Saul was told, "Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins." That's the statements of the Scripture. Not our statements, but the statements of the Scripture. We in Churches of Christ, particularly in the congregation here at Crockett, invite you to come and be a part of such a fellowship with us, that you too can be faithful to the ways of the Lord and teach His way and practice His way and enjoy His salvation from sin. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, would you come as we stand and as we sing together?
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus say, "Come unto me,
I am the way.
Hearken the loving call, obey.
Come, for He loved
you so.
Only a step, only a step. Come, for He wept for you and I.
He's the same loving Savior.
Jesus has said, "I'm
never forsake the promise divine that never can fail. Heavenly sunlight, heavenly sunlight, flooding my soul with glory divine. Hallelujah, I am rejoicing, singing his praises, Jesus is
Jesus, God, Lord, and the blessings of Jesus Christ, and the blessings of Jesus Christ, and the blessings of Jesus Christ.